Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Mothers. And today's sermon has nothing to do with Mother's Day. We're at Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing about joy through this book. And today, it is the joy that unifies us as believers. The very best place to be is in a church that is unified about handling well the threats to unity. The very worst church is one that is splintered with factions getting worse each year. And those are extremes. The former is a healthy, risk-taking place where people care deeply, but they're also caring. In a splintered church, factions center on personal preferences rather than on ministry. Paul wrote to the Philippian believers, specifically requesting that they be unified in their relationship and purpose. Paul was writing to human beings, so he knew that there would be threats to unity. It's human nature. Common sense tells us that where there is good, evil will eventually clash. Throughout the last 2,000 years, churches have had only one main problem, and that is disunity. God speaks to us today through the apostles' plea. To remain in unity, to remain in God's will, you must be in unity. Our question, of course, is how in the world can we do that? The answer to unity isn't easy, but it can be easily stated. Be Christ-like. There it is. Done. Back up. Okay. I told you the sermon would be short. Be Christ-like. Of course, the theological mind would continue with a description of what constitutes Christ-likeness in order to spell out what will lead to unity. The first thing in Christ-likeness that leads to unity is communion. This is verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit. It's impossible to act like Christ if you do not walk with Christ. This, above all things, could solve the problems of churches all around the world in any age. Believers who get away from a close walk with the Master cannot reproduce Christ-likeness in the flesh. Paul said that the encouragement or the strength of the Philippian church, its strength came from being united with Christ. The reality is that belonging to Christ daily will produce a natural belongingness with each other that transcends our sinful nature. The spiritual principle is that it's impossible to be in genuine fellowship with Christ when you are out of fellowship with anyone whom Christ died for. The next step to Christ's likeness is compassion. Verse 1, second part. If there is any tenderness and compassion. Tenderness and compassion are the same word in Greek. They're from the root word, which in English is spleen. That little organ helps purify your blood. It's located in the visceral area, and the ancient Greeks thought of it as the center or the seat of emotion. And I have big emotions. After all, when you get upset, the first place you're liable to feel bad is in the midsection. Christian compassion is a matter of being vulnerable enough with each other and the needs of the world's lost so that we are moved viscerally and volitionally to do something about their needs. Our methods to meet those needs may conflict at times, but our goal of helping others will always keep us united. Compassion. In 1988, the USS Vincennes, a a United States vessel shot down an Iranian airliner with 290 people aboard. It was a mistake. But public opinion polls show that Americans were opposed to giving compensation to the Iranian victims. The hostage crisis, the Iranian hostage crisis, was still fresh in people's minds. But President Reagan approved that compensation. At the time, he was asked by reporters if such payment could send the wrong signal to the Iranians. And his answer was, "I don't ever find compassion a bad precedent." You cannot be Christ-like without compassion. Remember, it was God standing, looking out over Jerusalem, weeping over the people who disowned him throughout the ages. The next step in being Christ-like is cooperation. Verse 2, "Then take my joy complete, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." One in spirit and purpose. Have you ever heard how they act in Japanese factories? At shift changes, the oncoming workers are cheered by the ones finishing their time. They get together and they sing the company song. It's done as a symbol of their singleness of purpose, the cooperation of people engaged in a task with a common goal. When I think of cooperation, my mind always flashes to the scene where the men are attempting to move the piano through the stairwell. The guy at the bottom yells to the guy at the top, "Hey, put a little muscle into this thing, or we'll never get up these stairs." And the guy at the top goes, "Up?" It's critical that we be on the same wavelength if we are to be the kind of church that Christ calls us to be. Either moving up or down the stairs. Christ-likeness demands that we check in with the head of the church. It demands that we check in with Jesus. Next step in Christ-likeness would be consideration. Verses 3 and 4. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." You know, there's a few things that need to come to an end in any church that wants to be Christ-like. And one of the most important things that needs to come to the end in a church wanting to be Christ-like is selfishness. And you know, there's in every fellowship, there are those who want to be prominent, who want to be petted, who want to be pacified. When the Roman governor Ambrose was nominated to be bishop, he felt so unworthy to be given such an honor that he ran and hid for days. It took the intervention of the emperor himself even to get Ambrose to consider becoming a bishop. Today, his writings give us invaluable insight into the early church's history. Do you know that the word humility comes from two words, dust and midriff? Do you get the drift of that? You can't call yourself humble unless you're willing to crawl through the dust for the very least of these, my brethren. To look to the interest of others doesn't mean that we ought to be nosy busybodies. It means that we ought to see the needs of others and press forward with actions that will be meaningful in meeting those needs of others. Another step in being Christ-like is to be cross-bearing. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul reminds the church that the man who died on Calvary wasn't like any other man. He was God. He made himself nothing. The King James Version used the word emptied there. The picture is one of sacrifice. In the temple of sacrifice, an animal is sacrificed for sin. The blood and water are poured on the altar and emptying. God existed in one form in heaven, but like a glass contains water and it can be emptied, so God poured himself into the form of a man and died for us. W. E. Orchard wrote, "It may take a crucified church to take a crucified Christ before the eyes of the world." If a church is to be Christ-like and therefore unified, it will be through our cross-bearing. Our comfortable seats in our air-conditioned auditoriums are not cross-bearing. Paying our tithes isn't cross-bearing. Serving on committees, workdays, and kitchens aren't cross-bearing. Cross-bearing is dying for others. Do you have the Christ-likeness to give yourself up for poor people in our city? How about for people of different skin color? What about the unchurched and the uncaring? What about the dirty street people? Beloved, this is a far cry from whether or not we're going to have next year's Spamorama or not. But it leads to crown wearing. Verses 9 to 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Paul uses a play on the sounds of words in it, verses 8 and 9. The words humbled and obedient come from the same root, and exalted and that native language sounds just like them. There is definite proportion relationship to these. The principle goes like this. You will be lifted by Christ in heaven to the same degree that you have lifted him here on earth. Don't forget that the spiritual far outweighs the material or the natural. In the spiritual realm, things are always reversed from the way they are in the natural. That which was high will be made low. That which is last shall be first. The rich, self-indulgent man went to Hades. The poor beggar Lazarus went to heaven. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 16:25. Christ-likeness is the goal. If friends or a family or church or even a nation would be unified, enjoying genuine fellowship, then Christ-like is what we need to seek. A.G. Gordon wrote about two little saplings growing up side by side. Through the action of the wind, they crossed each other. By and by, each became wounded by the friction of their crossing each other. The sap began to mingle, and one calm day, the two saplings became attached. Then the stronger began to absorb the weaker. It became larger and larger, while the other withered and declined until it finally dropped away and disappeared. Now there are two trunks at the bottom, and only one farther up. Death has taken away the one. Life has triumphed in the other. This is unity, where the Spirit of Christ has taken over.